I'm Liz Bobo. Welcome to Reflections on Life. When I left public office after serving for over 30 years, I knew that I did not want to go on a lot of boards and commissions, that I wanted to have an unstructured life. But after a couple of months, I realized that it was so unstructured that I had a hard time keeping track of what I had done at the end of the day. So once a month, I send out these reflections on life, and then I run through a summary of them on this program. So the topics are home in Columbia, my grandson Zachary, Baltimore, my hometown, public policy at the local, state, and national level, our planet beyond the U.S., and our universe. So just a few words on each one of them. While in the Canadian Rockies with my husband for 3 weeks during this month, we were reading again disastrous rainfall, particularly in Ellicott City. The damage that has been done is heartbreaking, ruining lives for quite a few people, particularly their work life, and we are going to have to really commit ourselves to seeing what changes do we have to make in order to deal with the changing weather patterns and protect this most important historic city. Aside from Ellicott City, the good news at our home in Columbia is that we had 5 ducklings who survived this year. First time in 4 years that any of our ducklings or goslings have survived the huge snapping turtles who live in the 2 ponds by our home. So that was happy news. My grandson, Zachary, his 25th birthday was celebrated in the month of May with a lot of parties and festivities and commemorations, people reading about the impact that he had had on their lives, particularly his friends who are of the same age, about 25. So Zach is not only not being forgotten, the commemoration of his life is growing monthly and yearly, which makes me and particularly his parents so very happy. Baltimore, my hometown. While Lloyd and I were in the Canadian Rockies, we went to a town called Jasper, and we went for lunch at a restaurant called The Raven. And I spoke to the owner and the waitress, and they had named it knowing that there was a city in the United States, they weren't sure which one, that had a great football team called the Ravens. So they named their restaurant the Raven. And as a literature major, I couldn't help but mention, well, what about Edgar Allan Poe? And they said, who is Edgar Allan Poe? So we had a long talk about Poe's poetry, and particularly his poem, The Raven. And as we left, they said that they were going to do a big scroll with the words of the poem, The Raven, and that if we came back to the Canadian Rockies, stop in and see it sometime. I loved that exchange. Our planet beyond the U.S. Once again, Andrea Merkel stands out as if there is a leader of the free world today, I believe it is a woman from Germany, a German woman named Andrea Merkel, who was in Syria being honored for the welcome that her country, through her leadership, gave to Syrian refugees. She's an inspiration to me. Public policy in Maryland, some good news. Maryland has the greatest decrease in prison population of any state in the country as of this month. And that, I think, is an incredible achievement. Our planet beyond the U.S., the leader of the free world, is also very much involved in negotiations with our president as to how we in the United States are going to be able to fit in and work more cooperatively with other nations from around the planet in order to do what we can to preserve and protect our planet. Our universe, I was at a celebration, or a fundraiser actually, for the Community Foundation of Howard County, which used to be held down in the Rouse Building. I think it's the largest charitable foundation in the County, but when the Rouse Company building became a Whole Foods, the annual celebration moved here to the community college. And it was a great party and very good funds raised for this very good organization. And as Lloyd and I were getting ready to leave, we were standing by the elevator, and there was like a, I would call it a TV screen on the wall by the elevator. And I just could not get over it that what the was shown on there was a picture of Stephen Hawking, the guy, the incredible astrologer and scientist who recently died, who had been told that he would live for less than a year about 30 years ago. And he is sitting on a mountaintop. It's not a literal photograph. It's a very peaked mountain, and he's sitting on the top, and his legs are dangling over the side of the mountain. And the words here he is saying are, "Remember, look at the stars, not your feet." And I just love that our community college, where we're sitting right now to tape this program, is putting that kind of information out for its students to see, because I think we really need to be have reminders of what I call our spiritual as distinguished from our religious side. And I just think it's wonderful that the community college had that up on their board. So, having said that, I want to welcome Ned Tillman, someone I have known for years, consider him a friend. When I first met him, he had his own environmental business, which he will describe to you. And then he became involved in environmental public policy here in Howard County when I was serving in elected office at the county level. And now he has moved on to leading walks and talks all around our community to so that we can see and appreciate firsthand the environmental aspects of what's happening in our stream valleys and all other environmental aspects of the community. So welcome, Ned.
Well, good to happy, be here, Liz.
Yeah, I'm happy to have you here. So tell us just a little bit about the summary of your work here, and since I've known you in 30 years.
Well, it's been quite varied, and I've really enjoyed that aspect of it. I started out having my own company, which specialized in energy and environmental issues. I'm an earth scientist, so it all came out of my academic background. But we worked all over the country, and one thing I realized during that time is we have messed up a lot of this planet. We've contaminated lots of different aspects to it. So about 15 years ago, I decided I wanted to stop that employment and focus totally on my community. And I've learned a lot about it by working with the businesses and institutions and the government here. And I think I decided I wanted to share my knowledge with others. And so I've written a couple books and lead a lot of hikes and give a lot of talks. And it's been very rewarding for me, and hopefully it's been a contribution to the community too.
It has definitely been a contribution to the community, and it's been a contribution to me. I consider that as an elected person at the county level and the state level, with all due humility, I say that I think I was one of the more informed elected people about the environment. But I've learned so much more from you and from the people who you work with. And I love that, as I said possibly earlier, I use the word spiritual. I think you would use another word. But you deal with more than just the science of it, more than just the science of the earth, the science of the ocean, and with the impact it has on our quality of lives and the spirit of our lives. So I want to thank you for personally increasing my awareness, because it enriches my life tremendously, even though some of what I've learned from you enables me to recognize things that I'd rather not know about what's going on. But I know that we can't go forward that way. So what is your major focus now? Do you have a major focus?
Well, I certainly do. I mean, my main goal is to get people to open their eyes and observe nature and learn from it. And most of us are just too busy to do that. One of the things I try to get everybody to do is think of going outside at least 30 minutes a day and walking around. It's amazing what you can see. And it turns out the science does inform us on this as well, is that 30 minutes a day dramatically increases your immune system. So we're much happier, much healthier. We respond from illnesses better just by being outside and breathing in all the essential oils that the trees and the plants are emitting. So that's science upon added to observations. Mm-hmm. So that's a major contribution I think nature gives us if we just allow it to.
Talk, I agree with you, although I don't have the level, depth of perception that you have. I have the same experience when I'm out walking, which I try to do every day in a place of nature. So we've talked a little bit about the contribution that James Rouse made to the environment in the new town of Columbia and the amount of land that he set aside, which is just amazing, given now when it's hard to hold on, it seems, to even a postage stamp of land when development is going place. So tell us a little bit about the impact that Rouse had on the environment in our own community here in Columbia.
Well, back in the 50s and 60s, we all started to understand science a little bit better. And he was one of the first people to actually institutionalize preservation of our green infrastructure within building the town of Columbia. And this has turned out to be one of the great successes. His vision of 25% to 30% of the land here being preserved for nature was something not many developers did. And I think we're still probably leading most places in the country for how much has been preserved. But that green infrastructure is so critical to managing floods, to allowing nature to come back. I mean, there's a lot of good things that have happened here in Columbia in the sense of we now have like a million trees that we've planted over that period of time.
A million.
Yeah, incredible
when
you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And what used to be just farmland now has a lot more birds and animals than it did before. And this does offer us a healthier environment to live in.
We're fortunate. We're very fortunate to be here. What about the aspect of prevention? Is there more that we can be doing? Well, I'm sure the answer is yes, but I don't understand it anywhere near to the depth that you do. Other than preserving acreage, do we need to do more in what we do with the land around all the streams? And I mean, Howard County is, I don't know how unique it is, but we have the Patapsco River to the north, the Patuxent to the south, and just countless streams reaching out. Is that correct? Into our county, into the land of our county?
That's correct. Everybody's backyard is the source of the problem in many cases. The more we pave over our backyard, the more flash flooding we get. So the green infrastructure is critical for our future. We have to learn how to co-evolve with nature. And if we keep paving things over, that's not a good thing. So prevention is critical and needs to be considered a lot more in our planning. It's okay to try to fix things, but if you don't prevent them in the first place, you never win.
How do you think we're doing as a people? Again, we'll say in Howard County, and then there's Maryland and the United States and the rest of the world. Is our awareness increasing, our understanding increasing? Or are we still just day-to-day and not grasping the changes we need to make in the way we live our lives in regard to the land?
I'm afraid we're all too busy to pay attention. More of us need to get outside to start appreciating what we have. If we don't, I think we're doomed, basically, to a downward spiral. Don't get me wrong, I think we've accomplished a lot in the last 50 years. We have cleaned up a lot of things we messed up in the past, but our challenge is we've doubled in population in the Chesapeake watershed. The county of Howard County has grown tenfold in my lifetime. I mean, so the population is really driving a lot of the challenges. So that's why I think we need to educate ourselves. Every person is new, in a sense, to this. They all have to learn it themselves. But it's one reason I write books and take people outside. I want people to really, for themselves, observe the challenges and therefore maybe each do a little bit. Because to really preserve our society the way we have it today, we all have to help.
You've referred to your books. Mm-hmm. I own and have read all of them now. I have your latest one. Just tell us the titles for the listeners.
First one is called The Chesapeake Watershed, and it's a sense of place and a call to action. And so I wrote this book initially because so many people are immigrants into Howard County that they didn't grow up here, so they really don't have a sense of this area. So the Chesapeake watershed really gives you a kind of a historic and natural look at Chesapeake Bay, the rivers, the lands all around here. The second book is called Saving the Places We Love. And this is a book that's more national in scope, but it talks about all the efforts of our ancestors to preserve our national parks, to prevent the total destruction of nature. And it's incredible stories about John Wesley Powell, John Muir. It took like 50 years after the Civil War for us to reconnect with our nation and start preserving land. So it's a fabulous collection of stories about national parks and rivers and mountains all across the country. And then my third book comes out next month, basically, and it's called The Big Melt, and it's a novel. The first two are creative nonfiction, but this latest one's a novel targeted at trying to inspire us to plan and prevent the challenges that we are facing over the next few decades of climate change.
And that will hit the bookshelves in another month or so?
It sure will. It'll certainly be on Amazon and on the bookshelves. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what that does.
Tell us about some of the more official positions, for lack of a better word. I know you were one of the first members and chair, I believe, of the Environment and Sustainability Committee and have taken positions, held positions in other organizations. Would you mention some of them for us as well?
Yes, I was like everybody else back in my 30s. I was just too busy running around, working, and taking care of my kids. But then one Saturday morning, Senator Jim Clark stopped by and ended up having breakfast with us. He was a neighbor. And over the next few years, we got to know each other. And he had appointed me to chair a committee, a state committee, on groundwater and geothermal energy. And then he got me on the Howard County Conservancy Board, which I was on for 12 years. And that led to serving on other boards. Currently, I serve on the Horizon Foundation Board, which is a health board, and the Maryland Science Center. And so I've had some pretty interesting opportunities to learn about how we work in this county, what's important to us, how we see things differently sometimes. But the Sustainability Board was pretty exciting to me because sustainability does attempt to balance economic, environmental, and social issues. It's a pragmatic way of looking at things. It's a very important way for planning our future. So I think that's an approach I would love to see more organizations adopt here in Howard County and across the country.
Let's talk a little bit about the flooding in Ellicott City. Two so close together. Should we really have been surprised at that? Or with so much water funneling right down into Main Street, should it not have come as a surprise? And whatever the answer to that is, surprise or no, do you think there are things we can be doing that can incrementally improve the situation so that Ellicott City doesn't have to be just shut down?
That's a very big question, Liz.
I know it is. I know it is. And I don't expect you to have the answer. But I also know you well enough to know that you've been thinking about it. And I'm not looking for an answer or a solution.
I think the term you use is the correct one. It's a funnel. Mm-hmm. And you can't change that. You have a huge watershed funneling into a very, very narrow, rocky-lined valley. So it's going to happen again. And anybody who is still thinking that they were surprised that it happened this quickly, the probabilities weren't that high. But we can't adopt or continue to use this concept of thousand-year floods. That's been demonstrated not a valid concept anymore as the climate has changed. We have to accept the climate has changed and now figure out what things do we do to prevent it from continuing to change. And that's the big thing that I think a lot of folks are ignoring. Certainly, just focusing in on rebuilding or adapting, sure, we have to build in resiliency. However, we have to spend as much effort and time and money on preventing these things. And that's hard for people to get their hands on because prevention takes years, and people want to answer today. Mm-hmm. We can't forget the prevention side. We should probably triple the money we're spending on that. We need to talk about it. We have to do those things that slow down the warming of the climate. And people scoff at that concept because we can't do it all here in Howard County. No, but we can be leaders. And if we are strong in Howard County and in Maryland and in the U.S., it's not just us. Everybody is concerned about this, and we all have to change our behaviors, reduce our use of fossil fuels, so these storms don't continue to plague and kill our children and our grandchildren. We have to respond as a species to this challenge.
Respond as a species. I like that. And that's vast, isn't it? That is a vast answer. I'm sure it's not easy to give an answer like that. It must be, you know, I'm sure you would love to be able to say if we did one, two, three. And that is just simply not the case. And we have to learn to accept that, don't we?
And it's not a short buzzword, you know. It's not something that's easy to sell on the streets, but mm-hmm. It's the reality. I'm being honest here.
Yeah, I know you are.
And, you know, I have a list I put together of the top 10 things we all should be doing, you know, to cool the climate. So I'm thinking about my grandchildren. I'm not thinking about just how to rebuild something. I'm thinking about my liability or my culpability in not acting today. We mm-hmm. have to act today to think of the future. For mm-hmm. Ellicott City and for the rest of the planet.
For the children and the children's children and the children's children's children, really.
Yep.
How about, thank you. Thank you for that. I know it's not an easy thing to say. You know, I don't have the answers. You know, it's going to have to be an all-encompassing change in the way we live our lives on this earth to prevent this. So.
And this should be a wake-up call.
I mean, to me,
it was a wake-up call 2 years ago.
And I guess we should be grateful for that wake-up call. That might sound sacrilegious. It could have been worse.
As long as we respond and realize that.
As long as we respond,
as long
right.
as we do something about that.
Right.
Yes.
What is, if there were one, two, three things that every individual, and I'm going to say in Howard County, could do to help improve the environmental climate in our environmental situation in our community. I know the borders around the county don't end, you know, it all comes in from the state. But, and would they all be changes in our personal behavior?
I think that's a great opportunity, Liz, is that this does not have to be regulated. It comes from individual choice. So I really like to promote the idea of, yes, get outside, to find a place to fall in love with, whether it's a stream or a forest or a mountain, and then realize that place is under threat and figure out what to do about it. There's lots of nonprofits trying to protect lands around here and streams in the bay. So join some of those. I mean, it really takes this individual commitment to get out and realize what's happening, act, preserve something. And let me tell you, people in China care about these issues. They're concerned about their kids having asthma. I mean, do you realize 100,000 people die prematurely in the U.S. because we pump so much fossil fuel exhaust and waste?
I did not know that.
It's an incredible number, and nobody mm-hmm. talks about that.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, fall in love with a place, go take care of it, and then I think you realize that your actions do matter. And then you can start saying, okay, what am I going to do? Well, I can cut down the use of electricity, right? You can insulate your house. I can drive electric vehicles. You know, I can turn lights off. There's a lot of things we start doing. I mean, a great book that just came out by Paul Hawken is called Drawdown. He has 100 different
things. I'm not familiar with it, really.
He's a great environmental author, and he has 100 different ways that we need to change. And again, if you don't want regulations, act. Do it yourself. We all can make a huge step, and that's the challenge, because it's up to all of us. We all have to do it. And I love to see the leadership of people getting up saying, I'm doing this. It just surprises me how many people come around to me and say, Ned, I was about to do A, but then I thought of you and I did B. Mm-hmm. I mean, it could be buying a kayak, it'd be buying an electric vehicle. Yeah, I don't really care what it is. but take that action and do it today.
That's quite a tribute, and I personally want to thank you for what you've done to help increase my consciousness. You know, even with all of the time I've spent working on environmental legislation, you know, at the county and the state level, there are things I've learned from you about personal behavior that frankly weren't on my radar screen until I, you know, read some of your books. And
I don't do it all, you know. Mm-hmm. I have a good friend, Ann Wing, that always goads me into carpooling.
I know, Ann.
I mean, it's like, oh, that's right, I should be carpooling, which is humorous. But I do take and appreciate the politicians, if you will, the elected officials, mm-hmm. when they say, tell me about that, Ned. I know mm-hmm. you did this on sustainability. Mm-hmm. You asked me to really give you the talking points and the concept of sustainability.
That was a long, how many years ago was that?
10 years ago,
yeah,
probably.
Yeah, could we be? Yeah.
And Congressman John Sarbanes did the same thing. Mm-hmm. He was reviewing my book and he said, tell me about this. You know, what's the essence of sustainability? You know, so I can talk to people mm-hmm. about it.
From all of these ideas that we could all incorporate into our lives, does any one stand out? The answer may be no. But is there any one that would stand out for you, for us?
Well, I think, like in all aspects of our lives, we have to stop and think what we do. Mm-hmm. A lot of people may call that meditation or might call it prayer or whatever, but we need to stop, realize our families are important and their health is important, and get outside. Mm-hmm. Go enjoy mm-hmm. nature. You know, this may be the peak of nature right now. We may not have the forests in the future that we have. We may not have the wetlands. We may not have the rivers, healthy rivers. You know, I'm real concerned that things are going to continue to go downhill. So, yes, get out there and get out of your basement, get outside mm-hmm. and fall in love.
I love that. I love your, I've never heard you say that before. I love that you're using those words, fall in love. And when you're out in the midst of a beautiful place in nature, it's so, that love is what does come up, for me anyway. So I want to end with this. You've started doing some walks around our community. How many years ago? Is this the third year for this?
Well, I've been leading walks sporadically for about 12 years.
Okay.
It's the last 3 years that the Columbia Association has organized it,
okay.
and they invite people to them. So,
and you're doing one in each village this year? Is that how you're doing it?
We do about 12 a year, try to get most uh-huh. of the villages within Columbia.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Columbia Association has this on their webpage. I have it on my webpage.
Uh-huh.
So people are welcome. We often get from between 30 and 80 people to
these
things.
That's wonderful.
I mean, the last one I did in Ellicott City, we had 150 people show up.
And did you go down Main Street?
We did.
How long ago was that?
That was after the first flood.
After the first
yeah.
one.
So some people got the message.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. This is really an aside, but in our visit in Canada, Lloyd and I, we spent 2 weeks in the Canadian Rockies very recently, and there are many people who are just, when they hear that the first train ride in the United States was to the town in our community, you know, the very first train ride, and that trains are so important to them, and that made a big impression on them. So what's in the future? Continuing doing whatever you can to encourage people to fall in love and to speak out and to, I would think, to realize just what an incredible blessing, and I don't say that in any religious sense, it is that we, particularly in our community here, have so many beautiful places where we can go and fall in love.
And we have to appreciate our ancestors gave us this gift. And it's under threat, and it's our turn now to take care of it. Mm. I have my grandmother's diary from 1910, where my grandfather used to take her out to the end of all the trolley lines around Baltimore on dates. And her very last entry is a trip to Ellicott City, where he took her up on the top of the hill there to watch the sunset. And then the very next line is all scratched out, and she never wrote again. But I love going down to Ellicott City and trying to picture them walking the streets. We have a wonderful history there. Here, I love it, and I hope we can preserve it. But we have to be smart about it And we have to make some tough decisions now. And I think we can do that as a community. I really do.
Well, thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for what you're doing in the community. Thank you for being one of my greatest teachers on the environment. And I look forward to continuing working with you on this.
Thank you. I wish you the best, Liz.
Thanks. This has been Reflections on Life. I'm Liz Bobo.